you don't realize. As a senior, those freshmen and sophomores watch every step you take. Now, they will never say it, they will never show it, but they watch every step you take. On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're doing something a little different as my co-host and I dive into a conversation on culture building and what it really takes to build a program as a head and assistant coach. We also answer questions submitted by our listeners and Rising Coaches members, making this a practical discussion. In this episode, we discuss how to build culture in an era where rosters are constantly changing, how much of a program's culture should be modeled by the head coach and assistants versus enforced within the locker room, and how to set clear expectations for freshmen and first-year players to create role clarity and improve retention. This is a real conversation built around today's challenges in coaching and leadership, so we hope you enjoy. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Welcome back, coaches, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Alan Major, Doug Caputo here today. We're excited to be able to sit down. If you haven't noticed, it's just me and Alan chopping it up. I know everybody loves to hear our voices, and I'm sure it's going to be exciting to hear for another 30 minutes or so, but really just want to, one, me and Alan have been getting some questions, some feedback from some people, and we're like, you know what, this is probably something that we could definitely talk on, and I know we've had previous episodes that have discussed this, but it doesn't hurt to dive into it a little bit more and hear more in depth, at least from our side of things. So what we're going to be discussing is building a program and a culture, especially with today's landscape, ever-changing, new rosters, all of that stuff. So we'll dive into all of that. As I mentioned, we got some questions from members in our community and wanted to be sure to answer these for you guys. So to dive right into it, Mage, I want to start with one word, and we already said it, but that is culture. So the first thing is, I guess, really, how does somebody, whether that's a head coach, both of us being assistants now also, we can talk on that. How do you build culture in a time when you see roster turnover so much?
Yeah, I think it really starts with you having a clear identity of who you want to be. And that doesn't necessarily mean style of player, X's and O's. I think who you want to be is who you want to be every day. There's an old show that was on MTV. Obviously, Doug, you're too young for this, but I'm dating myself. But it was called The Real World. And what they would do was it would be reality TV. They moved all these 20, 30-somethings into a big apartment or a huge house. And they just let the cameras roll. Obviously, it's not reality TV, but they called it that. But that's where you have that a lot now in today's landscape. You have 18 to 20-somethings moving into a building and coexisting together, sometimes 10 new people at a time, 12, 14 in our case here at San Diego. And I think a huge part of that question about culture is not so much, again, it's not about style of play and what pace do we want to play at and how do we want to defend? It's how do you want to live every day? How do you want your team to exist? How do you want them to treat each other? How do you want them to handle themselves on campus? How do you want them to handle themselves in the community? How do you want your program to be viewed? And I think having a clear definition of that helps maybe create a little bit of a cheat code for yourself in terms of what type of culture you want to have.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing I will say. And now, obviously, you can speak to this way more because you've been a head coach. But just the things that I have learned from being an assistant, I've seen numerous different head coaches. I've seen ways that they have, like, either I get brought in and then they're new as well, or just I've been to a program and a new head coach comes in also. But nonetheless, culture, I'm a firm believer in you can have the best athletes, but if the locker room is a mess, you're not going to have it all together. Now, you can disguise that sometimes. You can hide it depending on how big of a monster that ego, that culture builder, breaker, whatever you want to say, is. But the number one thing that I've noticed is, like, when coaches started a new program or let me rephrase that. I've seen a coach before started a new program. Now, this is obviously level dependent because you can't always pay for people's stuff. The coach would go and take the players out to lunch. He would take them out, get to meet them. And the reason being, and I would ask him, like, this was a coach I just was having a conversation with. He told me about this, and he said this is something he would always do, is take them out to lunch, because if you bring them out of their environment, their natural environment, and that being the gym where you see them majority of the time, you bring them out of that environment, it's a different conversation. You don't talk about basketball. Mm-hmm. You talk about the exterior things. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg, because now you get to meet this kid. You get to see what's behind the curtain. And then ultimately, that kid can slowly trust you. Now you do it with the next one. And yeah, that's a lot of lunch you're going out to get, a lot of money you're going out to spend. But then you start to notice, like, those kids start to fall in line. Hopefully, right? Those kids start to fall in line one by one. And then it's like that right there. Now, obviously, that is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more that goes into it, like you said. But that's at least gaining the trust. Once you gain the trust, then as the head coach or even the assistants have to fall in line with what the head coach is saying, even if you live a different way.
No, that's so true. And culture is about people, right? Obviously, it starts with the head coach establishing a clear purpose with that. And then the type of staff you hire has got to reflect the culture you want to build. And then culture rolls downhill, and the type of players you bring in is going to be reflected by the type of culture you want to build. So all that stuff, it's so connected. And the toughest thing about today's landscape now is that you don't quite get the time to do the research. Recruiting has become, in this portal landscape, recruiting has become speed dating. Because a lot of times it's done through Zooms, and then a Zoom will eventually maybe lead to a recruiting visit. But it's almost like job interviews when a company's trying to hire people. They don't have the ability to take a lot of time to maybe do the research. So if they got 7 positions open, they're probably going to talk to anywhere from 50 to 100 people. And yeah. So that's speed dating, right? So it's the same it's the same concept as far as what's your best way to find as much information as you can in the shortest period of time, and making sure that information is legit. Because now, again, that's going to reflect who you hire. That's going to reflect who you recruit. Doing background, and now obviously money is involved. So even if you like, there's a mutual attraction, coach, or player staff, then it's okay. What's the number? Is the money right? So that's another part of what you're doing in terms of recruiting, but it still all comes back to the people. And so that, you've heard it with coaches that you're friends with, I have as well. That's probably the single biggest challenge in this landscape, is putting the team together that reflects the type of culture that you want to have.
So let me ask you this, because I've seen this at the Division III level. Now, the reason being, I feel like it's more relevant, maybe I could be wrong about that, is head coaches lie to kids they're recruiting frequently. And what those lies pertain is, you're going to come in, you're going to play right away, you're going to get X, Y, and Z, you're going to get this. And I feel like the reason it pertains to D3 so much is solely because those kids, let me rephrase that, those coaches, I feel like a lot of people don't even know this. Division III, you have to hit a quota, right? Like a recruiting quota. You have to bring in X amount of people. You have to bring in, depending on the program, 6, 7, 8. I know what I did there. We're not going to go into that. But 6, 7, 8 people. That's usually around the range where you have to bring in, because you have to keep a roster pack, because that's where the money's coming from. It's not coming from the ESPNs, the cameras watching you and all that. When they bring those kids in to hit their quota, and recruiting's huge in, I mean, granted, it's huge everywhere, but it's so big in Division III because that's, again, where the money's coming from. That's how you have to keep your roster stacked. And that's the one thing I feel like a lot of ADs pressure on. So they lie to kids so then they can get those kids in so they can hit that quota. And then they're like, well, I hit my number. So I guess let me ask, is that something that you see more at the next level too, that Division I, Division II levels, or is that just kind of basketball?
Yeah, I think it's probably everywhere, especially depending on a coach's situation, right? Did he just get a job? And does he feel like he's got to put himself out there with kids in terms of playing time and, again, promises of some sort in order to get the best roster he can to make immediate impact, because he got hired because a job was not very good at the time, where the previous team didn't do well. If that's the reason why he got the job, then that could lead to guys putting things out there that maybe a little bit, can he back it up, can he not, versus an assistant that just got a job because he got promoted and now the head coach moved on and now this guy got the job because they've done well. So now that guy's going to have a different conversation with players. He probably doesn't feel he needs to do that because his culture is established. But I think that's probably at every level. I can see why Division III guys would do it. One, for the quota thing that you just mentioned, but also two, there's more guys trending from Division I, Division II to Division III to have opportunities to play. And so a guy may say that at the Division III level because this guy played Division I for 2 years in the MAC conference at Miami of Ohio or something. And he's like, I got a chance to get this guy. I'm going to say what I got to say. I think it obviously you have to be careful with that, because if you do that in a particular recruiting class, two or three people in the same class, and you do that, obviously when those guys show up, that's going to be locker room conversation, which again, that's affects culture, which is
the culture. Yep.
Exactly right. So
you saw the roundabout way of getting into it, but I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it from the back end, and solely because we've recruited kids from the portal who have transferred in, same conference, and they transfer in and they're like, yeah, so-and-so promised me X, Y, and Z. Everybody can't stand them because he does that for everybody. And also the other thing, I look at it this way too, is like when you promise kids playing time, I know I said it earlier in a different one, but I hate it, because unless this kid is LeBron James and you know for a fact he's going to come in and light the world on fire, you could have a stud high school point guard and you promise him playing time. And then a month later, some point guard hits the transfer portal and you're like, oh crap, we got to get this kid. You end up getting him. Now you just lied to this kid, although you may have been honest and telling him the truth. Now you ultimately look like you just lied. He's going to come in, he's going to be unhappy. And then it just starts turmoil in the locker room and boom.
Yeah, no, that's it. And I think you have to promise opportunity. I don't think you can promise quantity. And I think that's the difference between the two.
It keeps them hungry.
Yeah, you can promise opportunity, and you have to make that abundantly clear to the kid, everyone in the circle, everybody whose face is on that Zoom screen in the process. You got to just say, hey, look, this is my situation in coaching. This is our roster. This is what I'm trying to do. This is where I envision your son or daughter playing and being a part of our program. We have a need. So we wouldn't be talking if there wasn't an opportunity. But I can't guarantee you, I can guarantee you that you'll have an opportunity. I can't guarantee you playing time or quantity. Because again, the question that coaches have to ask themselves now, probably more than anything, head coaches in particular, is do I want to build a culture or do I just want to win another game? And that's the question. You want to get to the crux of it, really? That's the question in this day and age. Because you can put a roster together to win some games, and that's great. And you know that the life of that team, the moment they arrive in July, the clock starts ticking. It's about 9 months, you know, that you're guaranteed that group. Because, and here's the deal, I mean, this doesn't happen anymore. It hasn't happened since all the Florida guys came back in a long time ago in 2007, won back-to-back national titles. But even if you did have a team come back another year, exact same team, players, everything, they're still different. They're older, they're different. They're like maybe a guy got married, whatever it is.
Expectations are different.
Everything's different. But obviously that doesn't occur anymore. The general point is when you have 9 months and you're trying to build the best culture you can, and trying to do that with the best people that you can find, obviously the best players too. But that's the question you've got to ask yourself, I think, as a coach. Do I want to actually try to build a culture and have something, even though it's only 9 months, there's still, you can have something that's sustainable from 1 year to the next in terms of your culture, even though it's harder to build a program in terms of retention. I think your culture can be maintained and repeatable, even though you have more guys coming and going and ladies coming and going out the door.
So that actually is perfect because, one, we just answered a question that we got asked, but we didn't ask it out loud. So I'll make sure to let it know for everybody what expectations should staffs set with freshmen right away. I know we covered that, kind of went into like the expectation set, but then what you just said leads into another one. So that's actually perfect. And it is about retention. The question was more, is retention about relationships or role clarity? I think that I like that question a lot because, one, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the role clarity, if you're not very clear and tell them exactly what you expect and think of them, that could ultimately damage the relationship in a sense. So I think they tailor into each other, but I'll say it again, is retention more about relationships or role clarity? So Mage, if you want to touch that and then I can go out.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's both. It really is. I think especially, see, the relationship thing has got to transcend it all. I really believe that you got to, as best you can as a coach, you got to try to go relationships, the less than, greater than sign. You've got to open up that open part of that greater than and put relationships on the one side and then the X's and O's piece on the other. But role clarity is a big thing, especially, again, because of the turnstile that's it's no longer a locker room door. It's a turnstile. It's the things that you're going in and out of the subway. It's the things that you use your body to walk through and cha-ching clicks every time somebody walks through it. Because you try to do some of that in recruiting, at least lay the foundation for a role. Because, again, that's going to be part of the discussion as to why you're bringing somebody in. But even after that young person arrives, you still got to re-clarify that, because what you said to them in recruiting, depending on when they committed, there could be five other people that sign on to your program after that kid committed. One or two more people may be at that person's position. And so that's why, even still in the process, you got to say, hey, look, we'd love to have you. We're very thin at your position right now. We're probably going to take one more guard or one more forward. So now if you can lay the foundation for that, there's not the surprise. So you didn't say this person's, hey, you're the one we want at this position and I'm not going to recruit anybody else. That's tough to do. Excuse me. But I think it's both. I think it's the relationships. You have to find time to spend time with your players as best you can. In these casual situations, it might be in the airport when you're waiting to board a plane, just shooting the breeze with players, or maybe you sit with them at breakfast when you're on the road in the hotel, different things. Practice ends and you just sit there with them while they're changing shoes and putting their slides on and you shoot the breeze with them for 5 minutes. There's just so many ways to do it. It's both. I really do. I think you've got to make a great effort at both the role clarity and the relationship piece for sure.
I still remember some of the little conversations my head coach when I played in college when he was recruiting me. I remember exactly where we sat. I remember some of those conversations that we had and some of the things that he told me. And they weren't anything astronomical or like he was saying anything crazy, but I just remember the little things, and you could tell it was a way that he was a phenomenal recruiter. We'll say that much. He was a phenomenal recruiter. But the thing with that was he was very open and honest with you, and heck, there was one time he was even bashing his own son to me. He goes, yeah, I'm talking about what his degree was. And he goes, I had some kids who weren't the brightest coming through my programs. And then he like looks at his son. But all in all, like he was a straight shooter. He'll tell you exactly what it was, and this is what to expect, this is what not to expect. And I was fortunate to be able to have somebody like that to learn from it. But that's the unfortunate thing, like going back to role clarity. A lot of people don't tell you exactly what they expect or what you can look forward to. I think you'll lose a lot of kids that way by saying, hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to be more of a role player your first year if you see some minutes, but then you'll progress later on. You'll lose kids, but at the same point, going back to the whole culture, you're going to contain and at least maintain, I should say, that culture, because this is what he told you. You can't say he lied. And if you get more, even better. Okay. Like now this kid's doing more.
And if you relationship wise are the same person in recruiting as you are when they arrive, because that sometimes is a different thing too. Guys will really let it rip in recruiting, man. Like they'll blow kids and families right off the screen in terms of a Zoom or whatever it is. But are you that same person when they get there? And we have to, as coaches, make sure that we're the same people every day, because they're in a landscape right now where everybody wants something. So we have to be the people that don't want anything, that are rocks and boulders in their lives that aren't going to move, that aren't going to change, that boulder's in the same spot every day. They can sit on it. They can lean on it. They can trust it. They know where it's going to be. They know what it's about. So that's a big deal. And it's going to be really interesting for me just to learn this spring, being back in the profession. This will be my first time going through a live portal cycle. And I'm really both curious and excited to see how it goes here, because obviously I wasn't on board when they signed all the guys last spring. 14 new ones, as we talk about rosters.
That's crazy. No, that's the one thing I like to, and I say this to all of our recruits now that our staff's been bringing in, is if you look at our roster from last year in comparison to the roster that we have this year over at Chatham, we did not lose one kid, excluding the graduates and the people who got graduated, got jobs, all that stuff. We lost a handful of them, but they all graduated. We didn't lose one kid. We had a coach change from a head coaching change. From one left to another one came in, and I feel like that is huge. Kids leave for that all the time. And I remember the conversations we had behind closed doors, and I won't necessarily go into the depths of it, but it was more along the lines of, we won a championship. We know the culture we have built here. And I remember telling the guys, look, I'll sign any papers that you want to leave. If you guys want to transfer, you have my blessing. As the assistant, when our coach left, I said, you have my blessing by all means. But I'm going to tell you one thing is, we have something good, and the grass is not always as green as you think it is on the other side. So I was like, at least take that into consideration. I remember checking in with them on a continuous basis, how you feeling, how you doing. And that was something, whether I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the reason or that was a huge part, but it may have played a pivotal piece, because at least they knew there was a familiar face, and not all programs get to keep an assistant. That's where we were fortunate. But I think that's what I tell all of our recruits now, is they say culture is a big piece. I was like, we didn't lose one kid to the portal, and look at every other roster in this conference. It's like they all got new kids or lost kids. So it says a lot.
No, it does. And you stood right in the middle of the whole deal. You like, hey, if you're back, that's great. We love you. If you move on, that's great. We still love you. And by not hanging anything over their head, because again, you're in a very delicate situation there for that 3 weeks or month when you had to stand in the gap during that coaching change. A lot of guys would probably, I don't know, I hate to say this, but at times in our profession, guys will take that as an opportunity to maybe have an advantage for themselves, or this is my chance versus what's best for the program. And by the way you handled that with those kids, you know, you're basically saying, all right, this is what's best for the program right now. Well, what's best is these guys feel supported. They feel like they have the freedom to make their own decisions, and you're going to support them no matter what. And like you said, was it the reason? Who knows? Was it a reason? Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I believe that.
You can't write that off as it not being a factor, because it definitely was.
So that definitely goes into the whole, like, yes, the head coach is the one who sets the environment, sets the culture. And this was the question, so this kind of answers it a little bit, is how much culture is modeled by the head coach and enforced by the locker room? And I would say right there, and even throughout that process, I had a recruit. This kid was a big end recruit. I was so excited for him. He was player of the conference. He was a local kid here in Pittsburgh. And he ends up committing. And then a week later, our head coach leaves. And I'm like, oh, crap. This kid's gone. And I remember calling him. As soon as I walked out, I called him. I said, hey, I want to let you know, before you see anything that pops up on social media or the media or any of that stuff. Media. I'm saying media like it's ESPN. But like any articles or anything, I want to get ahead of this and let you know. And he goes, I remember his exact words. Coach, I appreciate that, but it's not just necessarily the head coach that's going to bring me there. I liked a lot of other things too. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
But I remember the reason I say that is because, to answer that question, I think the head coach models and sets the tone for it. I think the locker room's the ones who ultimately, or the locker room and the players are the ones, and the assistants are the ones who ultimately have to trickle and contain it, maintain it.
No, for sure. And that gets into the whole thing of player led versus coach led. And it's really hard to beat a player led team. Like, you can tell sometimes where they're, it just depends. You can feel it. Sometimes you can see it. It's hard to really, I don't know that I could write a 500 word essay on what it looks like, but you know it when you see it. You feel it when you see it. I remember having a conversation with Mark Few one time at Gonzaga, and he was talking about a couple of new guys, and he just said, yeah, we got a couple of young guys, and they just haven't learned the Zag way yet. And I was like, Zag way? I said, what do you mean by that, coach? As I'm reaching for my notebook and getting ready to scribble what he's getting ready to say. I'd gone to watch a practice there several years back, and he was kind enough to let me watch practice. And then, you know, we had a conversation after practice, and he literally real time at that time said that. And I said, what do you mean by the Zag way? He goes, there's just it's a way that you handle yourself day to day, your academics, your approach, your attitude, your coachability, all these things. And then we start talking about playing time. And so it was like, and so what he meant by the Zag way is that he had the previous year, these two players, Kevin Pangos and Gary Bell. And he said, remember Kevin and Gary would huddle the team up and right before practice, and one of them would give me a thumbs up, and then we'd start practice. He said, because they got the guys together every day, and they'd huddle them up, and I'd tell them what I expect early in the day. They relay it to the team. So that's the essence of what we're talking about, is player-led versus coach-led. And if you can get your team to become player-led, then that's when you have something special. Here's the catch. You have to find people that can lead themselves.
Because no doubt.
If they can't lead themselves, they have zero chance of leading anybody else. And so,
by leading themselves, holding, like, basically standing true to your word.
Doing their deal every day. You know, what's expected of them individually every day? Are they knocking their own pitches out of the park when they step in their own batting cage? How many are you knocking the thing out of the park yourself before you can start having any conversations about leading anybody else? You got to lead yourself. And so that gets back to, who are you bringing in? Who are you? Are they reflecting what you want? You know what you want culture wise, and you know how you'd like to have your program operate, how you want your building to feel. Then who you bring in is going to reflect that. And if you do want a player-led team, then you've got to bring in individually led people.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. That is an absolute fact. To be able to instill it, they got to be able to maintain it themselves personally. Yeah, I think about it too, and I've seen this personally, is a kid, when you're going through stretches, they start to half-ass stretches. And he's your star guy, right? He's your main guy. He's your go-to. This kid's dropping 20 a night and doing 20 and 10. Those freshmen, and I used to tell our seniors all the time, you don't realize, as a senior, those freshmen and sophomores watch every step you take. Now, they will never say it. They will never show it. But they watch every step you take. And I've actually been on the other side of the conversation. One is a player doing it, but then on the other side is as a coach, where I've had a kid come to me and say, why are you yelling at me doing this? And I'm like, because this is what we have to improve on. And he goes, so-and-so does it. And I'm like, right. And yeah. Right there.
And they got you. They got you at that point.
He does it. Yeah. He's also not fitting the standard that we need. And it was a whole, it actually worked out perfectly, and they're all good kids. So it was perfectly fine. But it was one of those things where you're like, it was a learning moment, and you're like, oh, shit. Okay.
100%. No, that's so true, man. I was talking to David West about, and for those of you, everyone listening, David West, 15-year NBA player, had the luxury, and I'll call it luxury, honor, privilege, joy of coaching this guy at Xavier University a long time ago. And we were recently texting about player types. And it's the very topic that we're on right now in terms of player types. What types of players do you want on your roster that or you feel will give you the best chance? And I'm going to read you what he told me. He goes, you have to have the right mix of guys. Guys that have a clear Polaroid of who they are. And I love the way he said that because, and again, I'm really dating how old I am by saying this, but there was once a camera called a One Step. And it was a Polaroid camera called a One Step and had a little red button. You would push it when you took a picture, and this little 4x6 or 3x5 picture would slide out of the front. You'd have
looks
to
like
shake
an Instagram
it.
Logo.
You'd have to shake it for a little bit. And then in 5 minutes, it would, like, this picture would gradually become clear, and then you would get this clear snapshot of what you just took a picture of. But it was called a Polaroid. That was the company, Polaroid, and it was called a one-step camera. And so Dave said, like, he's as he thinks about player types, and for those listening, he's in both the AAU business with Garner Rhodes AAU basketball. Yep. He also obviously visits with a lot of Division I coaches. And he said, I've been thinking about player types. You can win with right play centered guys. And I love that phrase. So he gives us two nuggets here. One, get guys who have a clear Polaroid of who they are. Then he says, two, you can win with play centered guys. They have to have the desire to make the right play first before any individual goal. Those are the guys that are coveted at the next level. So for those of you listening, if you want to hear from a guy that's obviously been in the trenches, 15-year NBA pro, now retired, of course, 2 championship rings with the Warriors, 2-time All-Star, and here he is talking about just the very core of what we're talking about today. And those in his minds, or in his opinion, that those are culture guys, you know, the guys that have the right play in mind when they're on the floor, but they have this clear identity of who they are, both on and off the floor. And when you can fill your team with a mix of guys like that, some that might be obviously more talented than others, but that seems to be a way of really approaching this landscape that we're in right now.
No, that's gold, especially somebody who's been around. He's seen the game from all angles,
coaching, all angles,
player, NBA, college, so on and so forth. That's great. I want to make sure to note to everybody also, one, thank you all for at least getting us some questions, being able to talk on this, because I know some people have reached out and said that this is something that they'd be interested in learning more on. I know our previous episodes we have had before, you know, some of them, I should say, there's been a handful, one of which was, I know it was a little time about a month ago where it dropped, but Glenn Ferrello, the Pulse 6 high school coach, I know he dropped some great nuggets. And then there was another coach, Wheeling University's coach, Chris Richardson. Both of them dropped some great nuggets on culture building from what they do. But this was another one to just be able to talk a little bit more. So for those of you all, one, again, thank you for getting us some questions over. Happy to have this conversation. Me and Mage be able to just have some conversations and chop up some hoops, but ultimately just hope, you know, as we always like to do, get back to all of you and get to learn more about this.
Yeah, no, this was great. Hopefully if somebody pulled one thing from this that made them think, especially as when this drops, it's going to be right around that portal window time in college basketball. And hopefully if someone takes one thing from this that makes them think, depending on what their role is in the recruiting process, head coach, assistant, recruiting coordinator, whatever that may be. Hopefully somebody pulled a nugget or two from this, but as always, my brother, enjoyed it.
And to all of you, hope you enjoyed it. That does it for another episode, the Rising Coaches Podcast. Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Coaches, keep working, keep rising. Stay heavy on that transfer portal. I'm sure you guys will be active during this time. Talk to you all soon. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.